And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in Denver, live from Denver. You know, and March 4th, the day at 2021, the day after Starship landed. Woohoo! You know, we were watching it. Bob and I were, you know, sitting back and forth, coming as it goes and abort. It lit, and then it stopped. And we're like, oh man, you guys do this to us all the time. Then what'd they do? Said, yeah, we're just going to keep. The countdown, doing kind of see him down a few hours later, boom, it launched. And then it landed. And then this is what I did not know until later last night. It landed, it's sitting there, it's cool, it's kind of cocked a little bit. It hit, you know, maybe a little bit hard, looked like it bounced a little bit, you know. And it's sitting there on the landing pad, and then about 8 minutes later, it blew up. I don't know what happened. Something was leaking and somebody, you know, threw a cigarette somewhere or something. And boom, it blew up. No more SN10. But they keep progressing. You know, so they actually landed it. It was cool. They lit all three Raptor engines. Then they went down to two, down to one. Boom, and lands. It was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me tell you what this means. The future is nigh. Well, that means a bunch of stuff, too. We've been, I'm sitting here watching it launch again. I go, okay. All right, so I'm a space geek. Get over it. The one thing that we were talking about last night, you go listen to the show that Corbett and I did, and there's, you know, 2021 is solutions. When we, beginning of 2020, we do, you know, generally a weekly show, and in the beginning of 2020, it was like, is this the year, James? Is this it? He goes, is what? I go, is it? And he goes, yep, this is it. Well, man, if 2020 wasn't it, here we go. And then what? Of all the bad stuff, you can list a whole big, giant, long list of all the crap. But what comes at the end? An education. People, man, you go through and it's you get learnified. And it's amazing to me how many people took the time to better themselves, or at least, you know, to read or watch some documentaries or fill in the, you know, I mean, you can only binge watch Game of Thrones, you know, so many times. You know, you might want to actually learn something. I remember an episode of The Jetsons when I was a kid. I might have even seen it when I was older, but there was an episode of The Jetsons. And Elroy, his son Elroy, you know, his daughter Judy. Well, the son Elroy, what they did is they had a television producer was looking for, we're just so done with all this education. They could see the future. It's going to be educational, everything. And they go, we just need a boy and his dog. So it was Elroy and Astro, you know. And sometimes you just need, and, you know, Donna has some of her shows that she likes. And, you know, I'm kind of a Hobbs and Shaw guy. Give me, you know, some car crashes and some fun and, you know, do whatever and entertain me and a little escapism every now and then. But generally, I'm liking learn something. Let me tell you who knows it. They, them, those know it. They're surveilling all them YouTubes you'd be watching and they're telling you what's up. So they know what you're thinking, what you're doing. So that surveillance serve me in some way? Do I get something out of it? I tell you what you get. You get the track. You get identified. You get stereotyped. You get predetermined. You know, they give you an example. Amazon Prime. Now, of all the stuff, we unsubscribed from Disney Plus, even though it was free with Verizon. I'm done. I just got so sick of their crap. I went in that did that Gina Carano thing. The only reason I even cared about Disney Plus is The Mandalorian. I started watching that little Baby Yoda, and I go, man, that was a pretty cool series. And then they had to politicize everything. It's like James LeBron coming out and telling me, how great and wonderful the, Chinese Communist Party is or something. I don't like basketball that much. I'm good. Then you got some professional soccer player going, look, man, you're an athlete. You play the game. And he goes, I'm not just an athlete. I get to, tell people what to do. I don't think you should be silent. Do whatever you want. I don't got to watch you. I don't got to care. I don't got to buy your, freaking slave labor sneakers. I mean, I don't got to. And that's where it comes in. It is wallet voting. In 03, when I first started doing radio, it became very obvious to me that that's what everything was all about. It didn't take but a few months of interviews and talking to people and, and you local politics and you got stuff going on and everything. And you could see what was happening. They wanted to influence you. It's like, that's why they call on YouTube to get the influencers. It's the high school football captain and the head cheerleader. What sneakers do they wear? This kind of thing. And it used to be that advertising wasn't like that. It was, hey, man, it's a better mousetrap. It costs less. It does more. Minimize the pain, maximize the pleasure, whatever the reasoning was. And then here comes Bernays, which was Freud's nephew after the psychoanalysis of a dream or a dream or something or whatever. Anyway, what came out of that, Bernays goes, let me tell you what's up. We're going to create the whole concept of public relations. It's all about opinion and staged photographs and all kinds. I tell you when it started, they wanted to get, it was socially taboo for women to smoke. So they wanted to break that. They got, man, we got 50% of the population here. It's not smoking. What the heck? We need to get up with the program here. So they said, well, it's an extension. They wanted smoke because, it's like it's a penis in their hand. They get to be a man or something. Or a gen, so they had, I think it was a Macy's parade or it was some big parade. I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or whatever. It was some big parade. And he had the photographers waiting, and he had a few socialites, popular, famous, women, and they're, for freedom. It's a freedom torch. I'm exercising my freedom by lighting up this here cancer stick, okay? Boom. I'm the love man. Boom. All of a sudden, public relations. You have, where bacon and eggs came from? Bacon was like a waste product, a side thing. What do we do with this? I don't know. Cook it or something. I don't know what the pork bellies, however the hell they did it. And they came up with the idea, bacon and eggs. They put the two together. All of a sudden, it became a thing. Four out of five dentists say. Whatever. They smoke Camels. So this has been a psyop forever. It's just whatever you can do to control the masses. And there was a BBC series called Century of the Self. It was 4 one-hour clips, I think. And one of the things that I would do, we used to really emphasize this before, we can do the IPFS and this other stuff, but we had special editions you could have, and it was Fascist Nation was Pal Gamble's, my senior editor. Pal had some really good stuff up there. It was like its own Freedom's Phoenix. You could have your own page. I love you a long time. I had Ernie's favorites. And of those favorites, there was a lot of these documentaries and stuff, and they kept taking them down. They kept moving them. They kept deleting them. And this has been going on for well over a decade. Well, now, we're getting you the Pirate Box. We're doing it right now. You can save this stuff on your own server forever. Tell you about when we come back, man. There's a solution!
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
They don't know stinking rats. Flying cars, man. It's getting closer. It's a happening thing. I can feel it. A lot of stuff is going on behind the scenes. I tell you, you know, it's what really happened. It's to have any kind of influence or wealth or you get the nod from the studio exec or the, you know, major league team owner of the yada, yada. You got to be the right kind of mindset. The minimum job requirement is you went through the program and you have, you know, come up not wanting. I mean, you could be, Shaq O'Neal, he has this one guy, he's 7'10" or something, some enormous black guy from Africa he found or something playing basketball. He dunks by just standing there. And he's really trying to get this guy. I mean, they may not care how woke he is. You might get to the point where we just throw it to him, you know. But usually there's this component of everything. Who gives a crap what, you know, Kaepernick thinks about, you know, what I'm wow. And it's going to be wallet voting. It's going to be where you spend your money. And it's solutions of, you know, and what you know, what you learn, and, you know, what's important to you and how you start to curate your own information, and then you can access it. Some people have books. I'm in an office now. It's got a lot of freaking books, man. I mean, and he's got some of the shelves marked. You know, this is, science, and this is, let's see, this is on prehistoric this, and what does he say over here? On creation and, Noah's flood. So he's a religious guy, and it has a lot of different, you know, sections. Okay. Can I digitize that? That would be kind of, a lot of times you lose a lot in, you know, digitizing something. I remember that episode of the old Star Trek, Captain Kirk, he had to be defended in some case to the, none of this pasteurized, modernized crap. Have you ever read in the original text of the Ardillian blah, 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 blah? Books. Because when you start digitizing stuff, they start trimming it just a little bit. It gets a little bit of editing. And this is what Google's doing with the actual books. And it's gotten to the point that you can't even, you know, Aaron and Melissa Dykes did a thing on this, TrueStream. And it's amazing if you have a book in the library and it's one of the Google books that they've taken and scanned in, you're not allowed to check out the book because it's digitized. You got to watch the digitizing. Well, to help with some kind of copywriter thing, something, you can't check out the digitized version to read it if somebody else already has it checked out, because you can't have more copies than there are the original book. That's some kind of deal they made with the company. What? I am so far, Pat. I'm done with all that. It's just even the mindset of this. We've gotten so Orwellian. There was one thing James Corbett brought up last night. He read, it was a book that he had just finished about, you know, George Orwell was right or something like that. And I remember seeing some interviews with him, you know, live interviews, and you know, he's imagined the future as a jackboot on humanity's face forever kind of thing. And they were trying to go, well, at the end of 1984, it did the end, and then it kind of had some credits at the end. It was a little bit more positive if they didn't, you know, stop. I go, no, Orwell was negative. He was like, man, he was very accurate in how we were going to get to where we are right now. And we're going to get to here we are right now. But he never thought of after. Yep, see, they did it. Scumbags. Trying to crush humanity and took everything and surveil everything and doing everything, requiring everything and permit for everything, everything. I go, well, of course, because they can until they can't. And that's what we've been leapfrogging on all this crap. It's like, nah. So in 2021, solutions. If you scroll down to the bottom towards the bottom of Freedom's Field. We still got to reorganize. We emphasize different things and how we evolve, but we keep all of our old ways. You know, we got the books all over on the shelf. They're there. We may kind of put them in the closet or organized it, and you don't have to look at it, whatever, but we still have all of our faculties and facilities and abilities and everything on Freedom's Phoenix. Now, what we did, there was a thing that was called special editions. Special edition, that's why we have Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe legislator? We still have that special edition that we use quite a bit. We have Haria Phoenix, which is Arabic for Freedom's Phoenix. So what we did is all the stuff that we get, you see something that has to do with the Middle East or Israel or some, you know, even the weather there, whatever. Donna takes it, it goes in that one category, and we have an Arabic Facebook and Twitter. And we did that because when the Tahrir Square was going on and we did a bunch of activism and DVDs in their format of Philosophy of Liberty, and it's just, you know, it's a long story and a thing, and a lot of you guys already heard it. But what we did is we have an Arabic version because Freedom's Phoenix is translated in about, I don't know, 40 languages, you know, and it's getting better. I mean, it's a Google Translator thing, you know, like I trust them. But, you know, it's but then we found out in Europe, a lot of the people that we did, they go, look, we all speak English, dummy. And I go, okay, there's that, you know. But there are some people that don't. So you can translate it, and they send it to, you know, their family and friends or something back home and, you know, some story that gets them. So the special editions was a capability that my senior editor at the time that passed away, freaking Pal Gamma man, I wish he was around, he had Fascist Nation. I had Ernie's Favorites. At the top of Ernie's Favorites is the most popular was Spider Bite Treatment. Anybody gets me, I got bitten by a brown recluse who was going to screw up my vacation and everything. Oh, my goodness, kind of whatever. And it was a veterinarian. There's one thing about this veterinarian that knew they get bit by spiders in barns all the time. And they knew, veterinarians, that there was a steroid that you took that all of a sudden you wouldn't get this big giant necrosis and they got to amputate your leg, which is definitely a threat. It's a thing. And I'm going, man, well, I called a doctor friend of mine. He goes, yeah, I got this stuff. You don't want me messing with that. That's a powerful steroid for rheumatoid arthritis. I go, no, I only need a tenth of a cc around a bite. Okay, I'll do it just to stick you and get over here. And it's vets fix themselves by injecting 1/10 cc of dexamethasone, dexamethasone, 1/10 cc of dexamethasone, a cortisone, divided into two or three subcutaneous shocks right around the perimeter of the bite inflamed area. Boom, next day it's gone. I'm telling you, this is one of the most popular articles I get, that, and it's called Spider Bite Treatment. If you were to search Freedom's Phoenix Spider Bite Treatment, publisher recommended, you know, it'll come up. Save your butt, man. Got a bunch of stories here of how, you know, a bunch of people got saved. So in there, I have a bunch of stuff like this. Now, I don't need it as much anymore because the way we did search on Freedom's Phoenix and we're doing the IPFS thing. The reason I tell you this stuff is some of this stuff is just important stuff that I wanted to make sure I could access when I wanted to. And we're going to go to the Pirate Box. I'm going to tell you about it. We're going to make it to where you can too. And it be permanent in your own files that you can access from anywhere in the world and anybody else can. You. Oh, yeah, it's $35. Woo!
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Just struck me. You know, that inspiration right here while I'm talking to you. All right. And I want to talk to you about, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in Telegram, the audiences, you know, that, man, this is freaking great examples. Now, we're going to have a get, you know, certain it's, you know, the Tyrant Report with Dr. Frank Tamburi, the Truup Report. We can do it for 5 years every week of it, and kind of not, you know, what we call it now. You know, he's like, oh, we got to vote harder. And I'm like, yeah, you're still voting. But it's been a great conversation and good friend. And but we took last week off because I had a bunch of stuff to do and everything. And so, but we're live shows, okay? So Frank will be back on in the third hour and might even go long. Oh, my goodness. But we have probably after the show Friday, we're going to leave Donna and I because it's a lot further than I thought. It's like 1,000 miles from here is Float Fest east of Austin. I'm like, damn, man, that's like 15 hours. Man, we got to carve that up a little bit. So we're going to leave Friday afternoon sometime and get on the road. So we'll get that done. Let's see. Thomas Free made great progress yesterday. I'm so stoked and anxious. All right, let's go read what Thomas has to say over in the Telegram, working on the pirate boxes and so on. All right, I'll just read it to you. Yeah, and then when it gets too personal, I'll stop. Okay. Made great progress yesterday. I'm so stoked and anxious to get this into your hands. With minimal setup questions, time zone, account password, maybe one or two more things I haven't thought of yet, the portable IPFS pirate box will be online and ready to browse and add files to IPFS. Oh, this is great. Bet quantum reality, because I'm going to show you an example on our special edition why this is. Man, you guys just get ready to, you know, all right, save up your money for, you know, buying $35. All right. And we may give you a bigger unit for more or something, but let's read it. All right. I've customized the thing with a pirate color scheme. Oh, that's important. Pirate splash screens and links to Corbett, Big Tree, Freems Phoenix, and bookmarks, toolbar, and OFC, Pirates Without Borders. OFC, what's that mean? Off, whatever. We'll add Brave Browser if available for ARM CPU and the P. I use, see, these geeks, man, they kill me, man. I got to understand what the hell they're saying. I have figured out how to minimize the setup to take less than 5 minutes from first power on. See, that's why I go, look, man, I know we can do this. We've been doing it. I need a grandma adjust button. You know, they always go, well, you adjust. I go, where's this adjust button you guys keep talking about on my keyboard? I'm like, no. And it says, Gmod adjust button. It's like Staples, man, easy button or something. I mean, just, you know, boom, and it's done. All right, 5 minutes, maybe we can get away with that. If I can put Pirates Without Borders on the SD card, it will be available locally. No need to even be online. But I don't know yet how much space that will take, so don't get your hopes up for the first delivery. Biggest SD card I have is 64 gigabytes. Well, you can get more. What do you need, Thomas? I will get it to you. Working with a 16-gigabyte SD right now, which provides 3 gigabyte of IPFS storage, doable for no local content as shipped, but has 3 gigabytes for used admin, blah, blah, blah. Okay, got to get after it, so don't hear the rest of your show today. I need to focus, and I can't do that with the radio on. Love you, man, but can't think with the distraction because Ernie's yelling too much. Oh, he goes, it'd be more than $35. Okay, so it'd be more than $35. See, the thing is that the Raspberry Pis are only $35, but you know, SD card, you want a display on it, yeah, you can add up, and then we can get the software package, you can just do it yourself, or we'll have it all done for you at, you know, $200 or something. You know, I have no idea. I don't even really care. I mean, it's not going to be enough that I'm going to worry about it, but it's damn, here we go. Okay, now here's a good use case that I'm building up to. When I go to Freedom's Phoenix, one of the things, it was one of the programs I told you about, it's called the Sentry of the Self, and it gives you an understanding of how controlled you are and how long it's been going on and why, using all modern means of whatever they got in the movie and the propaganda film of the Nazi, whatever the hell. This has not been a secret. This is, you know, just another chapter they add to the book of Illuminati of We Rule You, you know. Of course, they got, you know, tyranny. There's a manual for that, you know. Machiavelli's the prince. I mean, you know, whatever. They've been doing this forever. So you go, okay, I'd like to save that. Well, when I looked on here, again, what it always did, video no longer available. Oh, I'm sorry. We took that one down and that one down and that one down and that one down. What if, and I will do this right now. Yes, that's why hardware cut. Yeah, whatever. All right, Thomas, this is the one thing you could do for me. You know, they don't have to do it today, whatever. Just make sure you write this down. The Century of the Self full-length documentary. You put that up on IPFS, and I get to put it in here, and I'm tired. For a dozen times, I keep chasing that video and putting it up to have links so when I talk about it, I can find it and do it and use it. Okay? Century of the Self, the full-length documentary. You know, put it in four parts, whatever. IPFS. Thanks, man. Go work. You know, we'll, or one of the guys do it. Mike will do it. Derek, we'll get it done. This is what I want him to do, is get me this damn box so I can do it. I go, you give me, you know, why am I getting you guys to do this all the time? I just need a box. I'll do it myself. You know, I want to do it. I want to do it. Well, we're close. So that's what's going to happen. Now, Kanye West, about 2 years ago, he's getting all kinds of flack of, you're a Trump lover, and I can't believe you and Kim are being nice to him, and kind of, you suck, and I don't care how black or billionaire you are or whatever, you don't hate Trump enough. So he's going, you know, you guys, you want to know something? Can't put your phone down. Take your phone and look up Century of the Self and watch how you're being controlled. I went, woohoo! Kanye West and I are on the same page. And how many people in whatever community, how many people, because Kanye West said, you know what? Go watch his freaking series, which I've been saying for a decade. It was a BBC thing done a long time ago. And it's amazing. You know, now it's kind of, yeah, I think you should watch it. I mean, yeah, because you see all this stuff that's been going on the last year. It's just been a con. It's always been a con. It's a sequel of a previous con and a prelude to the next con. I mean, it's how they do it. They, them, those. You want to know who they are? Those just want to be left alone, or those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. They won't leave me alone. Well, this is how they're not leaving you alone. So I'm tired of doing this. If I can load it up to Interplanetary File System and I put the link up there, it's there forever, and I don't have to keep doing this for a decade to save material that I know is of use to the future. Here we go. Here's another one I had up here. Who was Edward Bernays? New World Order propaganda genius. Okay, I'm going to click on that. I saved it for some reason because I thought it was cool, and I save it. And then it was a YouTube. What does it say here? Oh, I'm so sorry. It's no longer available. This is exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going, you know, there had to be what? There had to be what? There had to be what? A solution. A solution. Pirate Box. Solution. And then we alluded to and talked about, and I went through this privacy phone. They were looking for, you're so tied to this freaking device that they got you, man. It's a leash around your neck, and you know, it's a fiber optic leash that, you know, inputs into your brain. You know, this is why Corbett and I, a few weeks ago, we were talking about RSS, you know, really simple syndication. And we got the idea. We go, wow, man, we could use that as a way from sites, because we got RSS feeds back up to, like, 2013. That was a really easy way. You take a feed from a site and you can just put it on your own site. They had WordPress, had little widgets, they have Themes Phoenix on there, and you know, the latest. They didn't have to do anything. It just took the feed and it automatically put it up, and it worked great. But then, remember the suicide of Aaron Schwartz? He's the one, as a teenager, invented that. And he understood the internet in a totally different way for the peoples, and they went boom and dead. I'm telling you, it has to come from us and our ability to store, save, access our own information, and we're almost there. They, them, those know it. I don't know. They can't do anything about
it. Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Ba-rum.
I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you.
Oh, coming to secrets and exposing the lies. That's what we do. Let's see. Thomas said, I'm pretty sure I already put Century of the Self on IPFS. I think he might have. However, it's probably on my New York Node, which had a HDD crash, that the video's not now, and I'll, you know, later and something. Okay. So that's why it's important to be able to do it myself. and I have my own files. And I could, you know, put, and once you get it up, it's up forever and always if you know that hash anyway, which we, you know, that's where we get IPFS search that we're working on. Man, ooh, they, you know, bad guys be a listening, they just know it's over, man. So, okay, I'll give you an example. Go to Freedom's Phoenix right now, the main page. Okay, I went ahead and forwarded it and put it up to the top of the page because both of these were, rarely do I put up publisher recommended. I don't overdo that because, you know, so you guys will go look at them and you'll be glad you did. So you see the spider bite treatment thing. I, you know, every now, especially in spring or, you know, in the summer or something like that, man, it's a thing. And this has saved a lot of people a lot of crap. They had to just know this one little tenth of a cc, boom. And the necrosis where the dead flesh as it just starts to get black and eats it, a little spider bite. This stuff happens all, I got bit on the leg up, you know, the inner thigh. I went, whoa, this is getting nap by the next day. No, hell no. I went looking for this, came across this article, put it up, and everybody said, thank you. Well, you're welcome. Now, on the top one here, the Century of the Self, full-length documentary, yada, yada, yada. All right? You click on that, and what did I do? I went and found it again. There's another, you know, but the one below, see, it says, sorry, this video does not exist. Now, I put this up again. I've probably done this, God, a dozen times over the year. It's amazing. They do not want you watching this thing, okay? And I don't know how, after a while, they say, ah, screw it, and, you know, somebody will get paid, you know, copyright or something. I don't know, on YouTube or something. But if we take this and put the IPFS up, then I put up, you know, link to IPFS, it's there forever. Done. Next. You feel me? And if we all did this, and if we had a Liberty Library, you know, search terms to do, well, that's what we're working on now. You know, that's part of this. This is why we're doing it. Well, while we were doing it, there are other people doing similar things or the same thing or kind of sort of thing. What happens? All of a sudden, you have other people that are creating this kind of privacy for your phone, your fiber optic leash that you got around your cortex, and they, we're doing some due diligence on that. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. And when I start pimping this thing, and I go, "Yes, I'm bothered to be doing it," you know, I don't say you don't have a solution. You know, especially if we can get the price to whatever, however the heck we can do it, because it's probably going to be a multi-level thing that they're doing on this. And I mean, I'm not a multi-level fan, but they, but in this way, you know, that's one of the, our guests that's coming on in the next hour. That's what he's like the guru of. Tom Chenault. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Tom Chenault. Contactmapping.com. What he's done with that and all of his contacts and multi-level, and you have, you know, Salesforce and people, you know, he's like, man, I'm missing out here. I need an app. I need an app that, you know, you take a picture of someone. You got. I've seen this from the mid-90s when you had those wizards. It was like a little PDA, personal digital assistant or whatever it was. And I knew a guy. He was a congressman, Trent Franks, from Arizona. We're not, you know, friends. We're not a fan. We used to be friends. But, man, he turned woo. But anyway, I remember back in the day, you know, I'm county chairman of the Libertarian Party. He's this big Republican run for Congress, kind of, and we went to the same church. Well, what happened was he would, whenever he'd see you, he'd take this wizard, boom, he'd entered everything. He had the database. You know, it was a database of the database, and he got database. Well, it kept building that up. Well, what happened was, you know, it served him well over time. Well, somebody that's in the business of contacts, what do they do? You know, I need it. You know, there's an app for that. Oh, there's not? Well, we'll make an app for that. Well, he did, contact mapping. So in the next hour, we'll go ahead and talk about that and, you know, what he does and so on. And I don't want to get into, you know, this device and everything yet because we're setting it up and so on. And it's not ready for primetime launch. But, man, it's ready for primetime, I'll tell you that. Yeah, all the videos are done. I tell you what I did. I sent the package to Derek. He's evaluating, you know, a bunch of make sure what they say. And then, because it's like one of those, man, whoa, really? All right. They had Pirate Box for that, and we're done. Hasta la bye-bye. So then we go, all right, then what do we have? How much does it cost? How are you going to get into it? What are you going to And I send it to my children. I have four kids, 12 grandkids. Our grandkids starting to get phones and all this kind of thing. I'm like, and you see them over there, and it's like watching Lord of the Rings. You know, my precious, with their phone. It's amazing. 11 years old. My precious brother. It's supposed to be her and her. They have the same birthday. Her first birthday present was a baby brother, okay? So they, you know, they're two peas in a pod, and they just sit there, and he's like, well, I wanted you. No, it's my present. I'm going, wow. And it was one of Donna's old phones, let her have just to kind of do. And finally they turned it on and gave her a phone number. She's old enough to be. So while we're on the road, you know, she communicates with us. We get to send pictures and texts and so on. I'm not feeling good about this. I'm not feeling good about it at all. So who's the one of the first people that's going to get, you know, a new phone on this? My grandkid. That, you know, we are cutting the strings to the man before it gets to, they get, you know, anal probe of favorite colors and what's going to trigger or the whatever. Hell no. I think I'll decline, okay? I'm not totally accepting that. Nope. So people go, oh, yeah, you want the privacy phone for that? You want to get that, you know, kind of, that'd be cool, and make money of the affiliate program of, you know, some kind of, no, it's for my granddaughter. I'm seeing the fiber optic leash getting wrapped around her cortex and her throat, and I'm going, no, are you freaking kidding me? So you will benefit because of my selfish desire to not have this happen to my grandchildren. Just FYI, okay? So now, if you look at the top of the site and you see Century for the South, the full-length documentary, recommended by Kanye West, no less, or not that I care. But, you know, the whole point was, is I'm going, yes, yeah, fine, yes. I've been putting this up for a decade. I keep having to find it. They keep whack-a-moling it down. Same thing they did with Plandemic. So what did we do? IPFS is a seed file for everybody to put up 1 billion downloads on the World Wide Web. God forbid, you know, you count IPFS. I don't know. Don't care. That wasn't the point. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. I need to know about spider bite. I got veterinarians telling me how to save my limb. Because it didn't make it over into human medicine. You know, it was veterinarians. You know, I get bit all the time. Yeah, I just go, yeah, done. Don't even think about it while they're amputating limbs. How the hell is that? That they don't have this difference. Now, remember when it was starting? It was when my daughter really hit home with me. She had her first child, which is 8, 9 now. So almost a decade ago, she has her child, and it ripped her uterus. 26 units of blood to save her. I mean, she's just bleeding out. And she was like, get dad. I come in, you know, oh, she needs her dad. No, what she wanted dad for is that, look, I'm really hurt. I'm really bleeding. You make sure you tell my brothers, you know, to suck it. Because they were like, suck it up. You know, kind of, I was just a witness. You know, so it worked out fine, but it traumatized my son-in-law. He was the man. He took care of business. He was there the whole time, shifts and doctor. He knew which line went to what man. He took care of business. And then after that, it was PTSD, man. He had to take a few sessions of make severing the – he couldn't watch a baby commercial. It just freaking, man, just sent him – man, I got to get some help. So he went and did the anti, you know, combat, whatever the hell it was, and just nipped it in the butt, which was a great idea. And I recommended it to another person that had some problems in a car crash. Whatever, boom, nip it in the butt, some brain thing of whatever. So you got no problem, man. You take care. He took care of business on himself, just like took care of business on my daughter. So he's the man. And, oh, yeah, Tim, the tool insurance man. You know, you see the ads up there, which he has been taken off on that. It has been amazing. It's ambulance care. You go. They don't cover when you need the helicopter. You're going to bill for $50,000. Your insurance may say it does, but no, it don't. So these are for RVs, so we got this when we went on the road. And thank you, Tim. Anyway, so she's looking for, had all kinds of health problems from all the units of blood. And everybody's crapping. When she went research, go to the doctor, doing them a favor, and they're, the internet stuff, you're not allowed, you can't, you dummy. You got your old file? No, we got a pill. It's changing. The world is changing right in front of you. We're going to help. Pirate Box, a BFM, and phone to break the fiber optic leash on your cortex. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Me, Ernest Hancock, live from Denver. Denver, it's Denver now. And then it'll be Austin. And then it'll be probably Austin for a few days. You know, we're gonna have some fun there, meet up with all the boys and girls, and we'll go ahead and have some shows there also. It's going to be a rock and rolling good time. We'll share everything we can with you. It'll be fun. All right. Get caught up with a lot of the guys doing a lot of this stuff. We're doing, like, Float, man, you know, Kingsley and Aaron. We've been working on them, getting interfaced with all this stuff. Kind of, we're going to meet with the boys and some of the CXO. You know, the CXO. They got new C's in here. You know, CXO. What's a CXO? Chief Experience Officer. And that means, you know, they're kind of consultant of kind of, you need the name. And they know somebody that knows somebody. Their secret power is like Captain Mark. He knows somebody. Knows a guy. Knows a gal. You know? Okay. Well, then Derek found out that CXO, is that what they are? They don't really have to do anything. They're just, you know, experience. I'm a CXO now. I want to be a CXO. Well, we got a CSO in, you know, studio. We're going to find out what the heck that is. Tom Chenault is a CSO and co-founder and inspiration behind contact mapping. He developed the ideas and philosophy that underpin the app over a four-decade career spanning successful turns in hospitality, corporate sales, financial services, and network marketing. Tom and his wife, Denise, are recognized among the top trainers and leaders in the network marketing profession and were recently inducted into the Network Marketing Hall of Fame. Tom also is a leading voice of the home-based business industry and hosts a nationwide weekly radio show, the Network Marketing Leadership Show. Over the years, they have built their career on the principles of the coffee shop interview and contact mapping and have mentored thousands of others to success across multiple industries by doing the same. Now, contact mapping, he demonstrated it for me last night. He's like, all right, here, just sit there and let me take a picture of your ugly face. Boom. Does that. Here, fill in the thing. Da, 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 da. Then he takes it and he does a voice dictation that the voice recognition goes in the text. You know, Ernie's this, remind this. And there's then the all-important calendar button. You think I didn't notice. Okay. You go the calendar button. You go, boom. And you push that, when to follow up, when to do, what to say, what to, you know, kind of. Contact mapping. Now, this, I've been through this before. I remember in the mid-90s with the Wizards, PDAs, personal digital assistants. I remember that this was a thing. And then where do you put it? How do? What format is the data? You know, can I find it? Did I lose the device? IPFS. All right, we'll get to that later. So, you know, the thing is that I'm understanding you. I'm getting it. Now, we got to meet last night because he's a good friend of Joby's. We're up here at Joby's home, his parents' home, and I can see why you guys know each other, you know. And, of course, this Joby thing, I mean, it's like, damn, the guy, you don't incarcerate or put under, you know, house arrest or whatever and give him a computer and he saves the planet because, you know, I'm not, you know, going to the South Pole. I mean, I'm a working, and there's a lot of stuff happening. So, Tom Chenault, tell us about you. You know, your first memory at 3 years old. Go.
Most charismatic kid you ever want to meet in your life as a little kid. I had an older brother who was very ill, so I had to have attention paid to me no matter what. I had a beautiful sister, and my younger brother weighed 1 pound, 6 ounces when he was born. So I was invisible, and the only way I could not be invisible was to lie like a rug and tell tall tales. And basically, that's who my life was until I was 29 years old and until I was 19 years old and found alcohol. And then I found alcohol, and I started drinking the crud out of that, and I turned into the most charismatic train wreck you've ever met in your life. And I ended up doing unbelievably big things. I was a big-time restaurant guy. Then I was a big-time airplane salesman, a drunken airplane salesman. And then I became a very, very drunken but successful stockbroker. And all of those exploded on September 29th of 1988. I got two DUIs and the two disturbing pieces in the previous month, and I finally got sober. Haven't had a drink in 32 years. I go to AA every day, and my life flipped around, and I was able to match that charisma with character and integrity instead of the way I was living my life before. And I am telling you, Ernie, Ernest, I have a great life today. I help people. I make change. And I fight the bad guys, and that's kind of what I do.
Man, summed up like a talk show host. Boom. Well, okay, some. I don't do that. But the
yeah.
And what point in your life here where you found your wife?
That was about 20 years ago. Did a bunch of personal development. First wife, I'll never forget it. I walked in the door, still sober, 5 years sober, had a beautiful home. Looked her in the eye, and she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, what is, what's up? She said, you're never going to be able to love me as much as I need to be loved. I think I want a divorce. And I went, wait a minute, I love you as much as I can. And she said, that's just my point. And so I walked out the door and never looked back. But I figured I was just a total hound and skirt chaser and an infidel. And I spent a couple of years chasing meaningless relationships and realized that sucked. And finally, I did a personal development course called the Landmark Forum, and that's an ontological inquiry into what it means to be a human being.
A what inquiry?
Ontological means nothing. No libertarian, no religion, no politics, no nothing. Just what it means to be a human being. And to sum it up, you're a Maytag washing machine when you're born, and we're all lined up Maytag washing machines, and our life experiences, we put all that shit in the washing machine. And here we are standing at whatever age we are. I was 37 with this washing machine full of terrible stuff. Bad memories, bad memories, bad memories, bad marriages, bad women, bad me. All I had to do was reach in the washing machine and take the bad stuff out and put it back in the past where it belonged instead of living it into my future. And all of a sudden, I was standing in nothing because I'd gotten my past into my past. I'd been living my past, so I had no future set up, and I stood right there. And I stayed there a year because I finally had access to intimacy, vulnerability, and truth. And I stood there and I said, what am I going to do now? I'm going to invent the perfect relationship and I'm going to live into it. And I swore that was going to happen after chasing all these women and being an idiot, even in sobriety. And a guy named Ollie O'Connor looked at me and said, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to find the woman I'm going to marry and I'm going to marry her. And he said, who? And I said, she hasn't shown up yet. And she showed up 2 weeks later.
Boom.
Boom.
All right.
How you like that?
All right. Cool. Success story.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a lot of this stuff, and you share this stuff on your show and everything?
Anything you want to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it built up to where you're running a successful business. Your network marketing became a thing with you, and you started to see the need for this app, just like what we were talking about in the first hour. I'm going, look, I live the need for this. Freedom's Phoenix is for what? But a lot of this content, I either have to save it on my own servers, and those are still vulnerable, just like everything else. We need something to be permanent, to be able to facilitate, yada, yada, yada. Well, yours was the contact mapping.
Look what just happened to Trump. Love him, hate him, I don't care. He's got his entire power base on Twitter with the enemy, and they flipped a switch on him, and he was out of business. That
right.
was it.
Right.
Salesforce.com. Flip right. a switch on you. If you're a pharmaceutical salesman, out of business. Your network marketing company, Facebook. You think you are? Your contacts are safe at Facebook?
Oh, no. I've so gone through this. We're going to. Oh. Story over story over story. You know, me and Tom are going to explain it to you. Damn it. You know, and there's, you know, freedom and productivity. There's an app for that. And he has one. So we're going to talk about it and the need for it when we come back. Man, we're on the same page. We'll be right back in just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
with Tom Chenault, and we're just getting into it. Okay, this is what got me excited, he said right before we went in the break. How's that Facebook contact list working for you?
Twitter, Clubhouse, any one of these
exactly.
things. You're done.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. In the Liberty community, what we did is you have these different festivals and stuff to go to, and they would have presentations, some close friends of mine, you know, very influential, doing really well, Amazon best-selling books and everything, because they knew how to play the game.
Right.
You know, this is how you do this. You got so many of your supporters to buy it on a certain day. You get, you know, kind of an algorithm of the algorithm. I learned the algorithm. Well, then on Facebook, it went to graphics. You know, they didn't used to have pictures as much, you know, memes and that kind of stuff. So you started being able to promote that, too. Then they went to video. Then all this stuff, and every progression they would have, you know, this is how you do it, and you get more and more and more and more the algorithm. What they didn't understand, because they were young, you know, they go, oh, this is the way it works, and I figured it out. And for them, 3 years is like a lifetime. That's a blip for us. I mean, I'm going, 3 years ain't nothing, man. They'll enslave, you know, an entire continent in 20 years and think they did it fast. I mean, yep. I don't know what the hell you guys are thinking. So what my criticism, I'm going, look, man, you guys don't understand. Do you have the emails of those people on Facebook? Do you have some way, you got phone numbers, you got way, because when they shut it off, they're gone. It's, direct messenger book of kind of whatever the hell. And I go, no, you're not. You know, you guys are killing me. So we just went another way. I didn't, screw it. We have them, and we got our. I don't know if it's our first. I never even look. I don't care. Donna is the one that does social media. We got our first warning or something from Facebook. Facebook goes, oh, now we're not going to take you down because it's a mistake. Sometimes people make mistakes, and we just want to let you. But that Plandemic 3, Dr. Judy talking about germ theory, the kind of, oh, yeah. That's a no-no. You weren't supposed to do that. You're on our secret double probation list of something, right?
Right.
So I'm just going, screw you guys. And I go, this is exactly what I'm talking about. There was a group called Cop Block. They would put up stuff that had all of these different abuses by police, violating of whatever, right? And before that, nobody would even believe you. It ever even happened. And we're going, of course it happens, It's because they can. But so they started documenting all this stuff. Well, they were one of the first to get targeted, and they could see it coming. Anyway, these guys were not dumb. So I'm going, do you have those databases? So then they started using their social media to get emails. Look, we need to get off of this. Bring it over here. Well, emails is going to be a thing, too. They're already starting to do that. The ISP, you're not allowed to send or receive or do, and the deplatforming of the DNS server. You think that, your domain that you have is safe? I'm going, no, that ain't either. Right. This is all coming. And you'll go, wow, how'd you know? And I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What the hell are you looking at?
Right.
So when you said this and you go Facebook thing, and I'm going, brother, we on the same page. Because here we go. Your solution for you, contact mapping. Let's not keep them in suspense anymore. Tell me every little old thing.
Okay, so here's the deal. If the product is free, you are the product.
Thank you.
So you might as well just know that. So they are absolutely slicing and dicing your information and selling it, and that's why everything's free out there. And that's okay with me. That doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that, I guess, because it's just... it's so big, I can't even fight it.
No,
so
it's an I totally agree button. You agreed.
Yeah. So, yeah, you hit the button. You hit I agree on your Facebook agreement, on Twitter, on your when you signed up for your network marketing company, you agreed. And basically you gave them everything. You gave them all your rights. And you were involved heavily in politics in Maricopa County in Arizona.
Right.
So you've seen the system work against you. And what I love about you is – you've been such a unpopular stand most of the time, even inside of your party, for doing what you believe to be totally right. So I've been around for a long time. I'm 69 years old. I've been unbelievably successful with my database all over the world, and I was impossible to fire because of my database. And somebody was always trying to steal it. And people are still trying to steal it. So what I figured out was he or she who has the most contacts wins, who remembers those contacts on a consistent basis. That's why I mapped you yesterday. I got your name and got your phone number, which everybody does. Then I took your picture right where we were so my mind would tell me that. I hit the button. I hit save. The next thing popped up. What do I know about Ernie Culver? I put... Nice job, Hancock. I don't have my map in front of me. I know a guy named Ernie Culver. And that just proves the power of the map right there. So then the next thing I do is I've got that in there. I know your wife's name. I know your life. I mapped everything about you as soon as I walked out of the room last night because I want to remember that so I can Google it. So there's a pretty good chance, because it just happened, that in 3 days, this 69-year-old guy is not going to remember your name. I just forgot it just now. So I'm going, who the hell is that Ernie guy? Maricopa. So I pop in the word Maricopa, and guess what? Everybody in my database, Maricopa pops up, which will be three or four guys. There's your picture. I can literally Google my brain. So I've got two things going.
Search your brain. Don't even say the word Google.
Yeah, search that. My brain. That's a good call. Yeah, that's a great way. Erase that word. There's two words I want to erase.
Search engine.
One is follow-up. Because follow-up sounds yucky and it's terrible. And I walked in this office just a second ago and there was a yellow sticky that said, F you, Tom Chenault. Because Joby was planning on calling me. Said, follow-up Tom Chenault. Not F you, follow-up. They're the same thing. So I just try to remember everything. So when I call you on the phone in a couple of days or text you, I'm going to remind you of your bus. I'm going to remind you of your mission or your wife. I'm going to remind you of something you love about you, and I'm going to continue remembering you until I want to do business with you, and it's going to be remember, 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 ask. That's all I do. That's all I do. And I build relationships that way.
What was the mechanism before, there's got to be an app for this? The young man that was here last night was the developer of the app?
He's the CEO. He is a guy that... is a chartered financial analyst. He's the brains behind the business side of it because it's a giant business. And then his partner, Rick Manelius, is a guy that went to MIT who's got a PhD from there. So he's a really, really smart scientist in this world because he joined contact mapping for all the right reasons, for the remembering part, for the loving his relatives and his mother part, all that stuff. But Ernie, what is so beautiful about those two guys is they got together to change the world because nobody remembers anything anymore. All your cards are in a box. All your numbers are in your phone. You don't have any idea who those people are. Your kids, your relatives, everybody, you don't treat those people the way they should be treated. You want to treat them better. You want to remember their birthday. A guy just told me, Al Balla just told me, I'm such a jerk. I'm at Joby Weeks' house, and Al Balla, the president of Manatech, just told me 2 minutes ago, did you know Joby's grandfather died? Because he cared about Joby. And I'm sitting in his house last night not bringing that up, and I felt like a heel because I should have checked that out and remembered it. All people want to be is remembered. Your bus, anything about you, I've got to be better at remembering you. And that's what I have a doctorate in. ContactMapping.com. That is what will teach you that. Go to contactmapping.com/free. I forgot to tell you the app at the beginning is free to get you sucked in, and then we get a little money
out of you. Yeah, we'll get some money out of you later.
Amen.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Okay, I'm with Tom Chenault here, and I'm doing it. I download from the Play Store contact mapping because it seemed it's cool. I'm like, okay, this could be cool. Now it interfaces with my contacts in my phone already.
Right.
Okay. Now we just talked about this with the audience over the last couple of days. What I did is I had a problem with this phone. The power cord went out or whatever.
Right.
And I go in and they oh, well, we're not, it's not a warranty because we got the little crack down. And I didn't even know it was freaking there. So now, yeah, it's an insurance claim. And I'm going, you guys are killing me. So, all right, fine. So I get another phone. I got a G20 phone. I go, and then I took this to you break it, we fix it kind of people. $160, they fix this. Okay, this is fine. So I don't have to, it's fine. It was fine. But now I got a new phone.
Right.
So I go, this is like, $1,100, $1,200 super phone. I go, What if I kept it and I didn't send this one back? And they go, oh, that'd be $300. Done! I got, let me tell you, I get a $300 super phone. You know, well, yeah. I'll buy one. Then you got, fine, not a problem. I'll keep it. Because the other phones were like $75 or something over the years. So I knew you could just, I just didn't send it. They sent me a bill. I go, fine. I got a crack display. It goes into my bug out bag or something.
Sure.
Got some backup contact, whatever. Cool. So I go, all right. Now I'm thinking, during this time, while I'm without a phone for a day, it hadn't come yet. I got it at the repair shop, and I'm going, you know, I need to be able, because I'm doing a bunch of stuff, I need to at least be able to contact my wife. People called, you know, certain things are going on, got to have, so I don't want to be like this ever again, because that sucks. So I went to T-Mobile, and I go, I want to go a different carrier. Give me, you know, your cheapy, I'm a senior citizen of whatever deal of phone. So they give me another, I got another smartphone. So in there I got, you know, so Samsung, I take this, I back it up, it goes on there. Back, I got three copies if I'm all good. But when I do this for this and the contact mapping, and I do, then I got, do I have access to that information outside of my phone?
Correct.
So I can go in, but now you got all my stuff.
I have got nothing. Nobody's got access to your stuff. And I mean, that's why I told you I want you to talk to Rick Manelius, the CTO that is our smart guy.
So that's Chief Technical Officer, right?
Yeah.
What is your CSO? That's a new one. What's a CSO?
That means a very, very old man who doesn't want to work, who can sell ice to an Eskimo. They call him the Chief Sales Officer.
Sales.
Because he knows nothing about anything else. That's
got me. It. All right.
Hang on. I want to tell you. I want to clear this up, because internet security, we are absolutely at war, and that's why we're so in love with this new phone that Joby's got in the hopper, because
secret out. Joby's behind it.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I don't care that. I mean, we have got to save the world from these guys. There is no doubt about it. And the more that you control your destiny on this planet, the better off you are. And if you can do it with your phone, where your phone isn't completely a hostage and a servant to all those social media networks, it's all the better.
Okay, now, right, I'm going to stop you right there, because I'm in this, setting this up. I'm ready to push the button.
Right.
Click this, I totally agree button. This is what it says.
Yes.
By checking here.
Okay, good.
No. I affirm that I am bound by and agree to comply with the terms of use and privacy policy of whatever they have.
Contact mapping, right.
So now when I do that, what does that mean?
How the hell? I told you I'm the Chief Sales Officer.
Right, I have no idea. Okay, so this is safe. It's because we're familiar, Joby and I are familiar with this, you know, for certainly crypto wallets.
Yeah.
You know, because we have encrypted accounts, you got your seed words, you go, and they have it so you can always recover to the new phone of whatever and kind of, you know, which, yay.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that. Some are easier than others, and how many, you know, freaking molecules I got to remember. So I go, I can recover my data, but it's encrypted on their stuff to where you can't decrypt it. I have the private key on the yada, yada, yada.
Right. That's
pinky
exactly.
Swear.
There you pinky swear. And I'm going to get you together with a guy, and I'm telling you.
All right.
Create account.
Boom.
Whose book is that about, Grace, on the desk? Is that your book, or is that Joby's?
Oh, it's one of his father's five gazillion.
So here's the deal.
That stack over there was here, so I can see you.
Okay. I've been sober 32 years. I go to AA every day. I am an unbelievable fan of God, and I never say no to anything. So you said last night, come on this show. I had some things to do. Then Joby said, tomorrow? I said, I never say no. And I show up, and I never say no, because what's going to come out of my day is 10 times better than what my plan for my day was. And here's where I stand right now. I came over here last night thinking I was going to see Joby, a dear friend of mine that I've known since he was a little kid. I didn't think anything was going to come out of it other than that. It's just a rich experience. What came out was this phony's designing that is going to be exactly what the world needs, not only for the world, but for contact mapping, because my stand is people are independent of people stealing their data. That's what my stand on this planet is.
Yeah, I tell the audience this, what they had. The gentleman, what's the young man's name?
Adrian Chenault.
Yeah, I know I say young. I'm freaking.
He's 34.
Yeah, he's 34. So, I mean, I was a kid until I was 40, you know.
Yeah.
Now everybody's calling me, and I don't know why. But anyway, so there's no gray in your beard. But the, so he was showing Joby the app. And he's going, now doing it. And Joby goes, well, we have all these apps on the phone that we have in their own store.
Yeah.
You can interface with the other Play Stores and keep it separate from and kind of doing all that geek stuff. And he goes, well, we'll just put it over here. You know, this is a great thing. We'll just add it to the day, which is great. Because he's like, okay.
Well, yeah, he swallowed his cigar, number one. And the kid could not believe it. But as we walked out, he said that was one of the most amazing experiences of my entire life. And he was the international CFO for Rackspace, the billion-dollar cloud company. Mm-hmm. He'd never heard anything like what you guys, not just Joby, were talking about as far as where this world is headed and what you're going to do about it. Really cool.
You know, I want to share this with you, and the audience knows. When we did the showing you some of the pirate stuff as the promotion of sure. the decentralization, all that stuff. The book that we did, those letters, you can get on Amazon, we order hundreds of them, and then we pass them out, was for him. It was him at 20, sitting in some crypto conference, you know, on the floor in a corner with six of his buddies on their $4,000 laptops, sitting there, you know, banging away, waiting for it, and here they come. You could see them. It was the, you know, the CEO of blah, 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 wearing his, you know, Armani, you know, suit without a tie on, thinking he's cool, walking over and going, ooh, you must lift. You're so smart. And I kind of, you know, and I want you to, you know, code another, you know, blockchain link to the crown and freedom of we rule you, right?
Right.
And they go, cool, you going to pay me? My mom will, you know, be happy I'm moving out of the basement. So, I mean, I get a picket fence, a BMW, and some hookers. Well, shoot, sign me up. And I'm there with that book going, look, I know these guys are going to be recruiting you guys. You need to read this. Give me a back door. Give me an out. Give me an off ramp. Give me some freedom. There's an app for that. Don't go down into the darkness and take me with you. You've got That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
These guys don't know. They know how to code. They know how to do all this stuff. But they don't know why.
Yeah.
They have no clue. Why? BMWs and hookers, that's why.
Yeah.
You know? So this is when someone like that comes in and they're hearing Joby and I talk about this and the why. You know, I give the stories of the why. You know, I tell the audience, I go, my youngest daughter has her baby in her room, gets one of those 3D, oh my God, portrait pictures that looks, puts it on Facebook. My grandson's facial recognition before he's born. I'm going, what the hell? You know, I said, no, hell no. So now
hysterical.
As I'm doing this, welcome to contact mapping. The contact mapping app makes it easy for you to be successful on day one by integrating with the contacts already in your phone. Your phone will ask for permission. Please tap OK when prompted. I agree. I totally agree. Now, this is before I even talk to your guy, because, you know, see, I don't mind because, in the future, and where'd Ernie go? There's going to be a where'd Ernie go here directly in a year or two. Or I have Ernie. So I go, import my contact. I'm going to push this button. Tom, should I push that button?
Yeah, push the button.
He said it. Tom said it. Tom said it loud. You know, all right, here it goes. I'll tell you what happens when we come back. You got to stay right there. Oh. Stick in front of that guy, okay?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Tom Chenault, contactmapping.com. All right. Now, I went through the thing. I got to go. I want to test something. I go to my contacts after I did him, and I go, all right, where's Tom? Let's find Tom. Boom, 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 boom. I go, Tom. And I'm looking for Tom. Tom, there he is. I go in, has his website, history. Okay. So it goes in there. Now, if I go through the contact mapping app and I'm looking there, I go, where's the search? Okay, hit search, and I go, Tom. Tom. Boom, boom, boom. Tom Chenault, there. It has one note.
Click
the
note.
I want to see what the note. And then I'm looking.
That guy you just talked to on the phone a couple seconds ago, you couldn't think of his name. I'm not going to tell the name, even though I remember it. You didn't have any idea who he was. If you would have had a note on him, you hit that note and say, oh, that's the guy I met down in Prescott, Arizona on the 7th of February. That's all. It timestamps everything. You are absolutely never relying on your terrible memory again. I don't care how smart you are. You never remember everything. And it's so important. If you talk to me about my three daughters, I'm not going to be happy with you because I have three sons. So the name of the game, and you think you did. You know, you walked in, how's your daughters? And the guy goes, no, it's boys. And then it invalidates the entire remember. Remembering people. Just think of what would happen if you did that with your kids or your grandkids or your parents, much less your friends and neighbors, much less everybody you ever met in your life. I've got 18,000 people in my phone, Ernie, and I have most of them mapped. And if one comes across the bow that's not mapped, I call them and say, why are you in my phone?
Okay, now this is interesting. You know, I'll tell you guys what happened last night. And this has been going on for, God, 2 or 3 years. While we were developing the Pirate Box and IPFS and platforming of sites, Joby was working on extricating us from all the systems and being able to save our community, our contacts, the use of the phone as the interface for all of that without it going through they, them, those.
Right.
Because Joby, he's Mr. Privacy guy, and he's like, I know what I need. 2 weeks later, he got arrested.
Right.
He's going, man, I wish I had this before, you know. So he's motivated. Plus, you know, he had the resources. He goes, I got to, you know, sling millions around where? You know, and that's why I know, regardless of whatever you think of these crypto guys and who did what, where, I'm telling you, they are freedom-oriented, anarchists, don't need your permission, none your business people. And now with crypto, God forbid, think about it. He was in prison over the last year. Crypto went from, I don't know, 8,000 to 15,000, you know, to, you know, 50, 60. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know what? I think I can afford that island, you know, whatever, yeah. if I had and the man didn't take of, you know, whatever. So a lot of these things he had already funded and stuff before, and I don't want to get in his business. When he gets all done with all, we'll tell the whole story. In fact, that will be a movie. So we'll get, you know, that taken care of. But the point is that he understood the importance of what you're talking about, and I could see why contact mapping would be part of a private phone system that is devoid of all the bad guys. If you do that, you need this kind of thing, because before people were counting on what? Facebook to do it for them.
Amen.
I go, screw them, you know? So he has, so we're looking, that's one thing, we'll be meeting with the guys Monday. There's going to be a festival, the Float Fest, you know, east of Austin. Now, they're, and damn it, just in time, they did away with the Texas mask mandate so we couldn't violate the law.
Thank you.
We just have, or the policy of the whatever. I'm just going, ah, screw you guys. We're just not, it's not, we don't have to wear a mask anymore now? Well, can I wear one?
You know? Yeah, you can probably wear one.
Yeah, just to piss you off. Like, Job has one. It looks like, I don't know, you can't even see it. It's a, you know, mosquito mesh or something. In a mask thing, you can see it. It's like you know, he's a, you know, a hooker harem belly dancer chick or something. But, you know.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So, so we go to fakemask.com. Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you do that?
No, I was surprised.
I'm going, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It always does that stuff. So we're going to Texas, talking to these guys, and there's a platform, Float, that we've been participating with more than most of the other, because we know the guys. You know,
sure.
they're going for the right reasons. And we want to help. We want to work. But one of the requirements that I have, and we're just hammering on them, as we develop the Pirate Box and put sites on there, I need, instead of me chasing platforms all the time, that I want – we put our site on that, permanently archived, it's all good, and content providers that make the videos, do the stuff that the platforms pull from that. I'm not loading to them all the time. I load to my own server, and then they pull.
Right.
And it goes. So that's the goal. And whoever does it first wins. So I look at Job, and I say, with your clear community thing, which is like Facebook killing the whatever. I mean, this stuff's all flushed out. I mean, they got, you know, it's done. It's just, I don't know what else they're doing, but they're doing whatever they got to do. So I'm going, all right. I do that because that was kind of where, when we met, you know, God, 2-3 years ago on this, you were doing this. I go, you know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in the hardware that you got so I can do what I want to do. Well, then Raspberry Pi 4 now have the capability and, you know, whatever. But if I have it to where we platform ourselves or another site, can it pull from that as we interface with that and it load the profile up on the community? Can you make that happen? Boom!
Crazy.
Boom! It's how it happens. Because he's already got the...
And it goes through the digital ID. You know what's interesting when you buy it?
Ah, you're not on the air. You can't... You know, you going to go? You going to do it?
There well, what's interesting is when you buy an Apple phone, you don't actually own the phone if you read the terms of services. And you don't actually own the Apple ID. Apple does. And that's how they can make $1 trillion off our data, tracking everything we do and everywhere we go, is because they own the Apple ID, not you. So the trick is to have your own sovereign identity.
So I have a digital, you know.
You got a DID.
Which means what?
A digital identity.
Okay, now.
But what's cool is your data is backed up by your 12-word seed and your thumbprint. So if you lose the phone, you can clone all your data right back again with your thumbprint and 12-word seed. So on a new device. So only you are the one. And that's great because there's no I agree buttons anymore or terms.
No, this is just
no
like.
No more passwords.
It's like Edge Wallet. It's like these crypto wallets.
Yeah. I still have to use a password to get into my Edge Wallet. Imagine using the thumbprint. That's it. And you can get into it. The hardest thing about all these businesses online is people just remembering their username.
Okay.
That's the hardest part.
We're running out of time. I got to, this is what. Okay, here we go. We talked to the IT guy, and I'm going, Scuttlebutt. It's the fourth letter reprisal on Pirates of the Outdoors. And the concept is, no matter what you do, you create a community. There's always some sociopath comes in, exploits, and takes advantage of, and it's always the guy, gal, that scumbag, or whatever. These people need to be outed. And usually they're politicians, okay?
Sure.
Or law enforcement, whatever. I mean, bad guys. So I'm going, how do we out these guys? Your reputation precedes you. I got contact mapping, but it has to have a reputation score.
Yep.
So we had some coders in Moscow working on, and they're doing kind of, and they want to give them a bunch of money, and they'll think about it. I'm going, yeah, that would look good on my resume. I gave a bunch of, you know, Russian hackers money, and I didn't get anything. You know, I'm like, nah, that happened. Yeah. Thing is that if we can combine our efforts here to where you have an eBay Yelp reputation score on people, well, they go, yeah, but they don't really shouldn't have a reputation to me. They're scumbags themselves and kind of, well, that, you know, that gets fleshed out as time, the reputation, the people giving the reputation. So we had this kind of mapped out in that letter, but I'm looking for that. Because I know what's going to happen. The bad guys will try to invade, you know, the system. Your system, the system. They want to troll the system. They're from the man NSA of the system. And I'm going, how do we out these guys? By us. Your reputation precedes you because we got a pirate scuttlebuck app. And then they go, well, how are you going to know that's that person? Digital ID. Based with what? A fingerprint. It's a biometric. It's freaking you. I know it's you. They go, well, that sounds kind of Orwellian. I go, you want to get on my ship? I'm going to know it's freaking you. You can call yourself Captain Bly, Captain Blood, Captain, I don't give a crap, but it's freaking you, and we all know it's you. And I don't care about your resume from the Crown. It comes in and say you were a felon of blah, blah, blah. Hell, that's like a bonus to me, man. I don't care, you know? Oh, you see how this happens, people? This is it. Quantum reality. I will into freaking existence. The birds of a feather, we flock together. Three of us here, done. Done. You want to know how it's done? This is how it's done. Right, Tom?
Oh, I'm just glad you woke me up. I love you, man.
Yeah, you feel it?
I feel it.
Because, man, I woke up to you. You know, laugh. You know, God. And it's usually a Klingon thing. I just turn my back on you, ignore you, and I got a solution. The solutions are coming. You know, James Corbett was about us, too. We haven't talked about it publicly, and we kind of said, and he's like, yeah, but I hate multi-level marketing, kind of whatever. I go, you know what happens, though? It explodes, and it goes fast. That's what they're worried about. Yep, and they should be. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it.
I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, and a feared, and of course, Frank comes in when the music's going crazy, can't check levels, and I don't know, and whatever. Frank, you there?
Hey.
He's there. Okay, I can, let me, go ahead and say something. Say good morning.
Good morning, Trump 2024. How's that?
That'll get us started.
All right,
I just want to get the level done. We're on the same level.
Right.
Okay, there we're done. This is why you call before, man. This is why you call before. He's a doctor. He's always late.
I was not late. The music was not over. It still counts. All right. So the world's doing fine. I don't think there's not much to talk about today.
Oh, the heck there's not. I got Starship landed yesterday. You know, I didn't know it landed. I go, hey, woohoo! You know, kind of a few minutes of smoke cleared. I went, and then I wake up this morning, found out, or late last night, I was looking at a recap. It blew up on the pad 8 minutes after it landed.
Oh, geez.
I go, well, there's that. They got to leave room for improvement. Hey, we're progressing, you know. It's the passengers disembarked. Boom. So I'm happy about that. A lot of stuff is happening. If you listen to the first 2 hours, we're talking about the answers to privacy. There's going to be. I mean, I'm pretty stoked. And then we're leaving here probably Friday afternoon to go to Austin for Float Fest. And a lot of the guys are going to be there, and we're going to be yakking about whatever we're yakking about. And then hopefully our bus will be done soon after we go back and getting on the road again after we do one last, bunch of signs in Phoenix of piss off the man. But Texas, no more masks. We're going to go there. We're in violation of KAA. We don't have to wear them anymore. But we're wearing a mask with a FU on it because or something, See, so how's it going in Arizona? We've been gone for a week or so. They starting to back off a little bit or what?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, I think Ducey, our governor here, is getting quite a bit of pushback still.
I don't care. He may be yours.
There's so many dynamics going on here. I mean, Arizona is really, I don't want to get too much into Arizona politics because, we have an international audience here, but you've got two new Democrat senators, essentially. Yeah, in this so-called red state, and the governors from the neocon, endorsed by the Lincoln Project, who just basically is getting tanked. So there's so many – this whole thing of wearing a mask.
Did Biden get endorsed by the Lincoln Project?
What's that?
I know they were against not Trump, but they actually – I guess it's kind of an endorsement. I mean, they were like we want Joe – the Lincoln Project?
No, exactly. The people of the Lincoln Project, like what's his name, from Ohio? John Kasich. I used to always call him Mr. Magoo. I mean, he wound up speaking at the DNC convention for Biden.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. These guys came out and supported Biden, and these Republicans are being, let's just say, paid back by certain positions for the Democrats. And of course, they're going to learn the hard way, which is that, if you sell yourself out and you become a Benedict Arnold here, the thing is, they think that somehow they're going to get a backdoor acceptance through the media and be accepted as the safe Republicans. And the thing is, once you turn your back on principle,
the safe, the by whom? Who's saying, Frank, they're safe Republicans. Who does this little gold star forehead safe thing? Who's safe? I mean, who's that? Safe for whom?
Who's that exactly? Well, it's not you or I. It's not the American people, clearly. It's the media. It's the media. I mean, and the thing is, sometimes there's a couple safe Republicans that go rogue. One, for instance, is our friend Rand Paul. Rand Paul was considered one of the safe temperate Republicans over the last, you know, eight years that he's been there. But the fact that he's been shown support more for the Constitution, and as this country's dividing, it's forcing people to take sides. So Rand Paul, he's been kind of banished from the CNBC world, you know, the landscape. And all you have left are the Mitt Romneys. Look, that's where John McCain lived. John McCain lived, you know, like
he's a
no
maverick.
Republicans never cared for John McCain. I mean, heck, the state of Arizona censored him, right?
They had a recall that almost did him right before 9/11. 9/11 hit. They had the signatures. We're going to rally, man. Woohoo! We're going to recall McCain. 9/11. Can't do it now. I mean, you know, because 9/11.
No, exactly. The thing is, you have this. I mean, you have to understand, guys. Most of you probably know this, but there's a whole different infrastructure that's propping up these politicians. I mean, John McCain was the leader, essentially, of the military-industrial complex as far as with Congress. He was head of what the military committee and whatever it was, the so-called defense called the War Department. He was basically head of the war committee for the Senate. And you wonder, how was this guy that powerful? He was because, even though he had no support in Arizona, as far as like the people didn't really care for him, but he got the money to crush any opponent, including myself, because many of you know I ran against him on the Libertarian ticket. But the thing is, they will crush you with the money from the military-industrial complex. I mean, these companies that make the Huey helicopters and the Nimitz-class of carriers and all the rest of this, all these black ops, whatever, someone makes money with this. And these companies, a lot of people don't seem to recognize, are not really on the New York Stock Exchange. It's not like it's like investing in Safeway or something. You're not going to have these defense departments for that matter. So this money is out there. It's a whole secret economy, parallel economy for the deep state military industrial complex. And John McCain was like one of the main benefactors of that, and others. And that's why you have so much. Or the Cheneys. I mean, just think about it. The petrodollar. The petrodollar is oil and defense. And who did we have as president? This cabal for how long? The Bushes and the Cheneys. The Bushes are oil. The Cheneys are defense with Halliburton. I mean, this is what we've been seeing this whole time. And of course, now Dick Cheney's kid is sitting there, you know, trying to take down Trump and this anti-establishment movement. And she wants the wars. Which, by the way, we're jumping around a little bit, but it's interesting how Joe Biden wants to shut down the pipeline in America. The domestic pipeline for oil, right? And in response, you know, shut down our pipeline so we can send our troops back overseas to create the Qatar-Turkey pipeline. So isn't it interesting? We're shutting down our pipeline
See, that's why I don't even want to talk about these guys. Of course, I mean, this is just one level of badness. I mean, it's just stupid. I'm like, you know what? Solar panels. Yeah, but whatever. Solar panels. Decentralized solar panels. Kiss my butt. You know, it's getting so cheap and the solutions are so numerous and the abundance that is so attainable now with the tech. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Go to the top of the page. You'll see in communication, shelter, energy, medicine, food, water, transportation, automation, robots, education, build a ship, medicine. I'm like, it's all right there. The tech. You just click on it and it's going to just, boom, just read it. And you go, what are we worried about? Well, I'm not. I'm worried about you worrying and it affecting you, you know, Zeke Heil into whatever the hell. Hell no. When we come back, you know, I want to talk a little bit about CPAC, because I don't talk about that kind of stuff with anybody else but Frank.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi with the whatever report. tyranny report, kind of, you know, appropriate. This doesn't kind of roll. Tyranny, but tyranny making fun, something report. I don't know. What do you think? What's sticking in your head, Frank?
I like the tyranny report.
Tyranny report.
Although I'm telling you, we should maybe change it to the Harris report because she's going to be president. We should do like kind of like a betting poll. You know, like when a baby's about to be due, as far as when Kamala Harris becomes president, because it's already in the works right now. I mean, they're already trying to take the nuclear codes, you know, from Joe Biden. They're already trying. They're sniffing around the 25th Amendment. They're already, I mean, as a matter of fact, they're revisiting Nancy Pelosi's bill, which was a way to get around the 25th Amendment for 2/3, you know, a majority to throw out the president, you know, if they happen to be mentally incapacitated or some reason. And if, I also remember in October when Trump got COVID-19, she created this new committee with this bill that they were proposing, which would enact a committee that would be 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats, and the vice president as a select group chosen by Congress, and that little star chamber could circumvent the 25th Amendment and throw out the president where on their command.
So okay, start over. What? The 25th Amendment is they get to say incapacitated, we don't like the president, he's gone and something, right?
Right.
All right. So who's wanting to do this, the left, the right? What are you talking about?
No. Dude, we talked about this back in October 10th or whatever, when President Trump got COVID-19. Of course, you know, don't let a crisis ever go to waste. And so Nancy Pelosi pounced on that. I'm sure her puppet master's behind her. But it was the idea that, well, this is all too dangerous. You know, I mean, this guy's got COVID. He might die and Congress is broken. So we have to find a way to, you know, make sure that at least the people are still in control of this government, even if fascist Donald Trump is about to die, but is too stubborn and selfish to relinquish control. So she created this bill, or at least someone's created a bill that she was going to propose in, which created like a star chamber. I mean, check it out. It's 8 Democrats, 8 Republicans, and the vice president to be the deciding vote. But it was a way to kind of trump, ha ha, the 25th Amendment. So they created this thing. And I mean, granted, it never went through, but they on CNN, well, the shows I'm sure that you watch all the time, they were pumping this all the time. And so it kind of fizzled away, obviously, with Joe Biden's win. But anyway, but after that, now we have now we've got the Democrats themselves in a civil war, which we should talk to, I think, and which we'll definitely talk about. And now they're trying to bring this up again. It was their idea. It was their idea. Now, when I say civil war, guys, I don't get too loaded on the topic because I'm sure Ernie right now is checking that out online, which I think he should, and we'll talk about it. But think about this over, guys. Joe Biden is a product of Barack Obama, obviously. And look, the guy's corrupt beyond belief, but I'm not trying to defend Biden. I can't believe I'm going to start defending Biden for a minute. Don't strike me down, anyone. But Biden is just on the coattails of Obama. Remember, Obama was the antithesis, or not antithesis, let's just say that they were the counterforce to the deep state corruption of the Clinton machine. So the Democrats have their own civil war, forgetting the leftists. And we know here in Arizona firsthand, because our governor, Napolitano, she was the one that used to work with Hillary Clinton, and she bailed on Hillary Clinton. She was the first person politically to not defend Hillary Clinton when she was running against Barack Obama during the first presidential election, right? His first thing. So remember that Obama-Clinton thing went down to the wire, and what was going on is that the Clinton machine, the deep state corrupt, deeply corrupt machine, I mean, they're all corrupt, but that machine was trying to get power, and no Democrat wanted to take on the Clintons. They're afraid of their lives. So it was the first person who kind of – so anyway, so it was Janet Napolitano who worked with Clinton, Hillary at the Rose Law Firm, I think it was. They worked together, and it was Napolitano and Hillary that both together defended Juanita Hill against Clarence Thomas. Speaking of Clarence Thomas again, remember that whole Hill versus Thomas legal thing was defended by Hillary Clinton or prosecuted, I guess you could say, of Hillary Clinton and Napolitano became the governor here in Arizona. So anyway, she turned, Napolitano turned on her best friend, Hillary Clinton, for whatever reason, no one still knows. And so when Obama finally won, and Obama was propped up by the Hillary Clinton, Clinton machine anti-establishment, the people who were trying to challenge the corruption machine, and I can't believe I'm saying now, like I'm defending them. But because of that, that's why Obama gave Janet Napolitano the keys to the kingdom to choose whatever that she wanted. And she chose Homeland Security. She stepped down as governor here in Arizona to become head of Homeland Security, because obviously she did such a great job defending our border here in Arizona. But I digress. Anyway, so she went into that, and that was payback. Hillary Clinton, however, in order not to go to war with the Clinton machine, gave her her little deal, which was they paid off all of her debts for that extended a Democrat primary, and they gave her Secretary of State. So she could fly around, stay away from Washington, because Obama really did hate Hillary. They hated each other. And Hillary could be overseas making money for the Clinton Foundation for her own run later. So that's the whole setup. I'm just trying to point that out. You know, is this. Well, anyway, so as much as we don't, we kind of despise all the Democrats, keep in mind, they have their own little civil war. So now you have Biden, who is really the pawn of what's left over of the Obama legacy. But the Clinton machine is still powerful, and they pushed Kamala Harris, which we've talked about on the show. It was Kamala Harris that was the immediate pick and endorsed by Hillary. And, of course, she tanked because everybody hates her. So isn't it interesting that the Clintons' puppet, Kamala Harris, who defended Hillary during the Benghazi hearings, we've talked about that on the show, she now is literally a breath away from the presidency. And so you get the Clinton machine is now vice president, and Biden is what's left of the Obama legacy. And now they're about to enact his 25th Amendment, and they want to get at Biden. That is the ultimate coup of the Clintons. That's what I just talked about.
I'm like, you know.
Don't care.
Don't freaking care. Because I, you know, this is just an example. What do you think was going to happen? You know what I mean? No, this is good. Yeah, we had, Corbin and I were talking about this. He did an interview with a guy that was kind of, I'm done, I'm not voting. And he was an influencer. He had his own YouTube thing and so on. And then he got sucked in. You know, he's like, I'm kind of thinking I'm, you know, and Trump. And then all this stuff happened, and you look back on what really was accomplished and whatnot. And then you're going, I got sucked in again. And all this intrigue and all this stuff. All this revelation. I'm looking at a story now that it'll go up later, but it's about the ballots, okay, and Georgia ballots. You know, the FBI made a big mistake. According to January 9th reports, the FBI stopped the forensic analysis of shredding ballots in Georgia. Agents took the ballots away from the team that was already working on the potential fraud. The ballots were taken back to the shredder in order to destroy the last bits of evidence. The FBI was doing this, and that's what happened in the 04 election. No, 06 was run for Secretary of State in Arizona. All of a sudden, the FBI shows up when a senator goes, hey, man, we'll just count them. They go, nope, done. No claim of jurisdiction. No, that I go, so you mean it's all fraud?
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
But there is the archive that we'll put up on the Zoom archive, the recording. We'll put it up, and you want to listen to it, because we'll put up the MP3 from the network, because we're not in the bus. We're at some, you know, whatever, you know, that would make it go where. But the off show, you know, pretty soon we got a new internet, Nomad internet thing. When we get the bus done, we'll install that, and hopefully we'll get the bandwidth that we need for Starlink, that we can do live streaming a lot more often. But, and you can hear, kind of, everybody likes to hear, Frank and I yelling at each other during the break. But, you know, we have it on the archive of the Zoom, and I'll put that up in the third hour so you can go there and listen to, you know, the ranting and railing that I do in the 4 minutes of I let them talk during the live show. But I am so freaking done with this crap. I don't care. I am independent. You know, I freaking don't care. Yeah, but they did, and they're the machinations of the went back decades of they're going to rule you through the times of that. Don't care. It's like fleas arguing over who controls the dog. I don't care. You know, I'm going here. I scratch it off. I go take a dip, and I do, and then I'd be done with you.
Well, I do find it funny. I thought that was a pretty ambitious way to summarize so much of the machinations and corruption in only a couple of minutes, and I get a big raspberry from Ernie. I do appreciate it. No, I understand Ernie's point of view. It's like at some point you just turn your back on the whole thing.
It just doesn't matter.
Trying to keep track of all this. Not to mention you're dealing with sociopaths. And sociopaths, they will keep changing things. They lie. They make the story so complex so you can't track it. And by the time, and if you are one of the stupid people like me that'll spend the time to track these scandals, eventually, especially when it comes to sociopaths / Clintons or whatever, eventually you always find out that you're correct. What the sociopaths are brilliant at is that they deny, twist words, deny, and they wear everyone down until people lose interest. So the only people left over are those that actually were tenacious enough to get to the truth. And once you get there and you prove it, then the sociopath laughs. And they go, okay, you got me. But nobody cares now. Everyone's moved on to the next 20 scandals. And that's what they do. Exactly. So
it
I understand the point.
It comes out, but then, you know, it comes out and then, oh, well, we knew that, duh. Yeah, we're just BSing you before. You know, yeah, we assassinated presidents, we lied about this, we did, but we don't do that anymore. That was then, you know.
I just want to defend one point. I do agree with what you're saying. It's like, I feel the same way, Ernie, and I want to be clear. A lot of us listening, we're kind of disconnecting from the news. You know, there's always you start throwing your hands up and for different reasons. You know, it's like Biden. Notice that we haven't really talked much about Biden at all. Well, half of it is I just don't want to hear crap from Ernie Hancock. But even if Ernie wasn't giving me raspberries, I still really don't care about talking about Biden. I don't want to give any energy to him. There's nothing there. And the best thing is not fighting this administration, but turning your back on it. And it's exactly what, and I'm going to give credit to Ernie, not just to blow the smoke up his ass, but, you know, that's pretty much what, you know, the movement or the American people have to get to that point where they just say, just doesn't matter. I'm sounding Ernie here. And you turn your back, don't give power or credit to it, and do your own thing. Ultimately, that's kind of where this goes. And to quote Ernest Hancock, God, it sounds like a commercial for you right now. But you know, a lot of it is that you can fight them, and they almost want the fight. I mean, why do they keep drumming up, you know, all the resistance from Trump people, and Trump people are the Antichrist? I don't know if you know, but March 4th, today, is supposed to be the Insurrection Day 2.0. The CNN and MSNBC, they've been plugging away for weeks that the secret – they have their own QAnon. Their version of QAnon is that the Trump supporters are going to take over the Capitol. And they've been talking about it for weeks, scaring the bejesus out of their people. And today's March 4th, and nothing's happened.
Yeah. What if they had a war or a revolution or a protest and nobody came? Nobody gives a crap. We're done.
Exactly.
You know what you said? Wait. You said something that, you know, prompted me to go look. I'm looking at it. I'm doing an image search on it.
Well, one second. So Ernie, just the thing, though, is that as much as I agree with everything you're saying, right? I'm blowing smoke at you here. But I think it's an important point to understand this civil war within the Democrats themselves. They have a three-way civil war. It was the old-fashioned Kennedy Democrats who had their own establishment. Then the Clintons came with a much more evil, dark side, sociopath version of the deep state. And they pulled no punches. And they attacked their own people. They scared their own people in their own DNC. That's why the Obama run against Clinton was much more significant politically than a lot of people understand. Not that I'm any fan of Obama, but the Obama wing and the Kennedys who supported him and all were trying to put a blockage against the sociopathic world that they saw taking it over. And, you know, they had to have they had to bring them together, just like Reagan and Bush. You know, George Bush was forced on Reagan as the VP. A similar thing happened then, you know, and now it's happening now, right? You've got Joe Biden, who represents one faction of the Democrats, and then, of course, you've got Kamala Harris, which is really the other, and here we are now ramrodding it through, and Kamala Harris will be president soon. So I think it's very important. I know you don't care, but I think the machinations are a bit important to see. Remember, Kamala Harris never got one vote. Not one person voted her, not for president, for the primaries. She pulled out before the first primary votes even came in because no one supported her except the media and the Clintons. And then Joe Biden gets on there, who's the representative of the other side of the Democrats. Nobody supported him either.
No, he had the most votes ever of any president ever.
Well, of course he did. But wait a minute. Think about this, guys. I'm really serious. Kamala Harris, not one person voted for her, even in a primary, and she dropped out, and the Clintons protected her and shoved her up to the top.
That's why Biden got so many votes. It was because of her. So say it in the history books.
But then look at Biden. Biden represents the other side of the Democrat establishment, and he also didn't get any votes in Iowa, New Hampshire, Super Tuesday. Nobody liked him at all. They preferred Pete Buttigieg and everybody else.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Wait, man.
The thing is, all the Democrats bailed on the same day to allow Joe Biden in there. So we've got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the two representatives of each faction that's fighting in the Democrat Civil War, and neither one of them got any votes from the people of their own party. And yet both of them are the president, and now she'll be president, the person who never got one vote ever. So you guys, I know you think it doesn't matter, but it does show the level of lack of representation. I know from your point of view, the whole thing's the same thing.
But the fact that you're making my point.
That's been forced through by the sociopath Clinton section. Well, it's important, Ernie, because the economy takes a dump, which is doing right now. And when we go into this world, this new world that we're about to walk into, I think people need to understand the level of tyranny, in my opinion, and how the people are going to be telling us what to do, supposedly, assuming that we're able to not listen. Where they came from and who they are. I think it's really important. But go ahead. Tell me how wrong I am.
Everything that Frank says is fuel for my freaking starship of I don't give a crap and it doesn't matter, okay? It's like, you know, look, they did this and they did. Look how they did. Even amongst themselves, they did. And they're going to, and they do it the next time, and they have in the infrastructure of the, it doesn't matter. And I'm going, we're going to talk about, I've been through this a lifetime in politics and activism and media and publishing and you know, writing articles, doing newspapers, magazines. I go through all this to rehash the same thing over and over and over and over and over. I'm like, at what point do you get the, you get it. You go, at what point do you go, why am I even paying any attention to you? Well, they're going to go to what? They're going to do whatever they're going to do, and I don't care. You have to extricate yourself from that system. Don't think you're going to control it. You're fueling it just by even participating and paying freaking attention. I want to talk about CPAC when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And a tyranny report with Dr. Frank Tamburi. And I'm, you know, don't worry, guys. I give what for in the break. He gets to have his say. Or you already know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, they go, Ernie, we need on the show. You got to say it. Say it. I go, put it down in a nutshell. Everything that he's talking about is a neon flashing example of it. Doesn't freaking matter, and screw them. You remove your sanction if I don't even acknowledge that. Well, our governor or my president would go, don't include me in that. Because I remember when we go fight a war or we went to Vietnam or we, I go, hey, man, don't put me in that. I don't have we nothing. Well, you're American, ain't you? Yeah, probably way more than you are. You know where the hell that means. You know, the dream, the promise, the light on the hill. If America didn't exist, we would dream of her. We would dream of the possibility of what the promise was, that the purpose of government defending the individual rights. You think you're getting your rights defended? Does anybody on the freaking horizon of anything that had to do with any kind of government, politics, any of them, have any inclination or a fraction of an itty-bitty sliver of an attempt to defend your individual rights. You see that anywhere, Frank. Anywhere. Right. Show me where I got any government, anything defending my individual rights. Where is that? Show me. Give me a glimmer of something. Where? What? What is that?
Can I defend all this?
You right? can try.
I can try. Oh no, I will. I will win. I will be victorious. Okay.
All right, I'm gonna turn down my mic. I gotta eat a little breakfast here. You go, girl. Go. Go.
Okay. Well, first off, in principle, I'm telling you, I'm not blowing smoke at Ernie. Trust me. I agree with your concept. I do. But at the same time, I think you are completely undermining and oversimplifying where I'm coming from. Look, first off, on the Trump report or Tierney report, I rarely bring up all the machinations. I don't do that anymore. I used to do that years ago. We would go over all the tit for tat, and you'd say, "Oh, you know, Alex quit it," and this kind of thing. So I know it doesn't fly on the show. That's why most of the show we talk about big picture issues. You know, big picture petrodollar issues or machinations or culture war, and the bigger picture. It seems that at least Ernie's blood pressure is a little bit better when I do that. But there are times when the details do matter. You think that when I bring this stuff up, you're talking to Don. I mean, you think that when I bring this stuff up, I'm going back to a habit of Americans talking about People magazine. You know, hey, Ernie, did you know who Angelina Jolie's dating right now? Oh, you know, like, and you're like, I don't give a crap. And that's the mentality that I think you think everything I'm bringing up is about. Sometimes it is, and I don't like to bring that the tit for tat stuff, but sometimes it does matter. You can't say that the whole thing should be thrown out. I understand the concept of not giving them energy and giving them power. You're completely right in strategy. But where I will push back on you is that it's wrong to think you just turn your brain off and not know who your enemy is. Because you're a dumbass. I don't mean that personally to you. Anyone that just turns their brain off and doesn't pay attention to who's on your border. When I spoke to my friend Brian, who was the guy, some of you guys know on the show, his parents escaped Ukraine from the Soviet Union when I was in high school, and I met him, and he taught me quite a bit as someone who actually escaped the Soviet Union and knew more about politics and our Constitution and about the world than any person I knew. And he was only he barely spoke the language. He could quote our own Constitution. This guy was on top of it. But a lot of this was that people from other countries who are especially surrounded by other countries, they have to know their own constitution and their leaders, and they have to know the leaders and constitutions of every country around them. How many people listening here know about the constitution from Canada or how their parliament works, or Mexico? Most Americans barely even know our own. But other countries, they really are engaged. You have to know who your neighbors are, especially if they can invade you or do something. So that is why I think it's important to understand who's in charge right now. From your point of view, it doesn't matter. They're all the same, and I get that. But from my point of view, hopefully it sounds like you're on the phone, but I'll tell you, it makes a difference that if we're about to have this crash, and that's something we never got to get into, I think many of us in our own avenues are realizing that you've got the dollar being printed like crazy right now. Was it the M supply? I mean, the currency production is like just a straight line going straight up on high speed. I mean, we've got there's so many things happening between the president about to be thrown out and with the 25th Amendment, with Kamala Harris, the Clinton's about to take over. You have the money supply. Many of us have this sense that the economy is literally, it could be any day now at this point, is the reason I'm doing
it. Any day!
And you have many other things all coming together, but I think it's important. And on top of the COVID deal, you have states now rebelling completely against the COVID deal, which is going to put pressure on the Democrats to say, okay, we have to find a way to force you to do it. Because it's unfair for Texas to take off their masks. It's going to make it worse for the rest of us. That's how they're going to look at it. So therefore, all three of these events are happening at the same time, on top of the culture war collapsing with Gina Carano of Star Wars, which I don't want to get on that sidetrack, but it's a very important story that goes beyond Star Wars.
I'd rather
all
talk about that.
Areas, All of these are coming together at the same time. And I think it's important to understand who's in charge. And I know you don't care, but I'll tell you what. When the economy goes to crap, it does matter. Do we have someone who's a free market person like Ron Paul's president? Do we have Donald Trump, who's a pragmatist for the most part? That I mean, I would trust him a lot more than most people.
Do we ignore the fact that any president? Do we ignore that fact? Do we take an active effort to don't care?
It does matter, Ernie. Wait, Ernie, it does matter. And for the Democrats in office, is it a Jimmy Carter Democrat? Is it an Obama Democrat?
Don't care.
Are we talking Kamala Harris, sociopath?
Don't
These
care.
Things matter.
To who? When does it matter?
Well, it's simple. Do you think Donald Trump or Ron Paul as president would do the Insurrection Act on their own people as quickly as a Kamala Harris will?
I'm thinking in the end it doesn't matter either way. What the Ron Paul thing, what really made that, you know, a movement, what made that important, what made it mean anything was just general public opinion. I don't give a crap what the, you know, the polls. I remember when Jerry Day was doing Google trending, you know, he didn't know about Ron Paul, who's that? You know, he was looking at Google trending and he would see it. He goes, holy crap, man, online, it's all Ron Paul. It's all Ron Paul being donated to by the military individuals. You got Ron Paul there, Ron Paul that, Ron Paul. And it doesn't matter. They don't care. And we didn't care because it was general public opinion. All this stuff, all the metrics, all this stuff. They go, ooh, how many friends do you got? How many views do you have? How many? I go, don't freaking care. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. How can all of us put into the culture? That's why I'd like to rather talk about Gina Kowalterface. You know, I'm going, this is where it matters. This is where it counts. You think I give a shit what freaking Disney Plus? I got Disney Plus for Verizon for free, and I canceled it. I canceled Netflix. The only thing that's got me wrapped around their fingers is Amazon Plus, because I get what I want cheap and free and asshole. So I'm like, looking for the next. There's going to be some decentralized suck-it, and I'm going to be right in front of the line. Now, what's Bezos going to do? They're going to have lobbying of they can't let the competition go in monopoly of like they always do. It's going to be wallet voting. And every I just want the audience to know, I'll let Frank go on about it is interesting. It is, you know, stuff that comes up. But the fact that it's interesting, the fact that you know this, the fact that you can repeat what Frank says at the water cooler and seem smart and informed, the fact that you go, that is the problem. Because it's a freaking, who gives a crap? You know, the only thing, the reason I wanted to bring up, before we run out of time, and I get to talk during the live show a little bit, is that on the CPAC, they had the governor of South Dakota got up, and I'm like, are you going to hear more from her? I can see that coming, okay? But Donald Trump put up, yeah, I got it sitting up there to watch. I haven't watched it yet because anybody I talked to, they said once he went on about vaccines, yeah, I get it back. They just turned it off and don't care anymore. You know, what happened to the Trump in the election leading up to 16? What happened to that? What happened to RFK Jr. going to go against Big Pharma? What happened to that? Well, I don't care. Donald Trump, whatever. Don't care. He had his chance. He was president of the United States of America, and I don't care. You know, what you going to do? 24, what you going to do? He had his chance. Had it. God, next. What's next? None of them. General public opinion, and it just doesn't matter. And the technology and the mechanism and the opinion that goes with that and free the planet, the revolution between the ears. We're going to document every freaking bit of it. And I get to say, Dion, I freaking told you so. How'd you know, Ernie? How'd you not know? How did Frank not know? Well, Frank's doing his best to make sure we know what's going on. But I guess it just doesn't matter. I don't know.